Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Thank you.
Okay.
So for tonight,
the ego takes shortcuts. And you, even on your spiritual path, you take whatever shortcuts available you would take if you thought it would get you where you need to go. In your world, in your relationships. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you thought it would work, why go all the way around? Why pay extra when you can get the same thing for half off? Or close enough? It's pretty natural. So, ego uses this principle to leverage you and get you behind the veil that you read about so much in The Course in Miracles. Once you're behind the veil, when you look back to where you came from, you see the veil and it seems impenetrable. Or, once you feel truly afraid, in your heart, you feel afraid, or angry, genuinely angry, or that somebody else is guilty, or you are guilty. Once you're behind the veil, you're into separation. And when you try to look back to where you came from, all you see is, I'm really angry, I really am fearful though. And the fear scares me. And I don't want to be hurt anymore. And off you go into the world of separation and loss. You stepped on the other side of the veil. It just appears now to be this wall. And here you are. So, the ego has co-opted this ability of belief that you have. And one of the ways Course in Miracles goes at this from a bigger picture perspective is with the term idols. Idols. It's one of the words and the themes that Jesus uses in this book to help discuss this maneuver of mind that's put you behind the veil, and when you look back you see a solid wall. I can't go. Solid. Some fear is fear. Anger is anger. Guilt is guilt. The veil is solid. It's not a veil, it's anger. It's not a veil, it's I feel guilty for what I did. It's not a veil, it's something I can just walk through. It's that guy actually hurt me and I still feel hurt today. Do you hear the ego? He's just living his reality, right? That's what he was hired to do, made to do. Course in Miracles says you're telling yourself a story when there is loss or pain involved in any of your thoughts. It's a fantasy. It's not real. But the book knows that you live with pain, anger, fear, loss, and death. And these things seem to be really harsh realities that you have to live with and suffer with. They're idols. Turns out you trust what you made. And the way your mind works is naturally, this is why we have to catch the ego, because it's naturally that you would take the cheaper route if you could. You would take the shortcut. You would take the one offered to you if you didn't know there was another one. Of course. You would take a substitute for love, especially if you didn't know what real love was. You would take a substitute for peace, especially if you've never touched real peace. Peace on the inside. Peace that doesn't need understanding because you're being it. It's beyond understanding. When you touch that, you're at a new level. And idols give you this substitute reality. Cheap substitute that seems to be either the only choice you have, or it seems to be the way things are, all that's available, or good enough. Maybe it's not the best. Maybe it's not true love. Maybe it's not true peace, but it's good enough for me. So let's take a few minutes and let's try to bust your ego. Find out what this term idols might mean to you. Are there any substitutes in your life? Or what is an idol? What purpose does an idol serve? Why do people make idols? Do you have a little altar at home? I know some of you do. You know, a little prayer altar. Is there a central thing there? It serves you. What? How? Why do people go out and buy statues of the Holy One, or their figurines as an idol? Why do they do that? Now, is there an idol in your life somewhere? It's okay, it's not evil. We use these things. Is there an idol in your life? Something you have that represents. It might even be the coffee maker. You paid 3 times more than anybody needs to pay for a coffee maker, but it means that you've made it in this world, right? Open your mind now, because it's not the exact thing we're talking about. We want to bust the ego here. So try to pick something in your life that stands for something. What does that idol, what does it do for you? What does it mean to you? Sorry for rushing you. This is kind of a working meeting. This will be a good intensive topic. David, did you come up with something that's an idol in your life?
Yeah, it's the, all those things we're dreaming about.
Yeah.
The type of person you want to mate with.
Uh-huh.
They have to look a certain way. They have to behave a certain way.
Yes.
You know, cars we have. I want this type of a car. Oh, no, I have to have a truck or whatever it is. The stuff we have to have, we're dreaming, we want it this way.
Yes.
And we create, everything can be an idol.
Yes, fancies.
Once we get nice and attached to it.
Yeah.
So all those, I look at it, all the stuff in our mind that we're attached to, it has to be a certain way.
Pictures in your mind.
Yep.
Those are idols, you bet.
Ones with a fancy frame.
Yeah. Fantasies, fancies, the ones that would, that would be good.
Yeah.
This would, now that would be good. That's it. Yeah.
Especially when you find yourself still dreaming or thinking about these things, even though you have something already. I don't know, I want something better. You know what I mean? It's just,
yes, because it would be better.
Yeah, that nasty ego.
It's got a promise built in. Yeah. You know what it looks like.
And what I always notice is trippy because you'll never, that picture never appears. No matter what you find, it's always the picture looks better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. The picture is just right.
Yep.
Yes. Like the
so
fast
when you
food restaurant.
You're not satisfied because it don't look like
you
it.
See the pictures on the menu in the fast food restaurant? Wow, that
yeah.
looks good. It doesn't look that good when they say here, $20.75, thank you.
Yeah, I've got a couple of restaurants to go to because they have nice pictures.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. Bridget, is there an idol other than the McChicken sandwich?
Well, that's pretty close. That's food. Food is definitely hopeful to make you feel better, have fun.
Yeah.
Uplifting.
It's a drug, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's appropriate because you're supposed to eat.
It's legal.
Legal?
Readily available.
Yeah.
Everywhere, anytime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And it can make you happy. It can make you happy.
It might even make you healthy.
It might. And if you're healthy, then
you're happy.
You'll be happy. Oh, we gotta go something to eat. Let's
at
go.
Least you can say I eat good, or
right?
Someone's gonna
you can
like
be proud of yourself.
Vegetarian. Oh, you're good.
And would you be guilty if you ate badly? Mm-hmm. You ate poorly. Could you shame somebody else for eating poorly?
Yeah.
Rich set of idols. Oh, multi-purpose idol. Yeah, no doubt. It's good. Michaeline, do you have an idol you can think of?
Well, I was kind of following your line of questioning, and the first thing I came up with was I kind of experienced the words of others as being an idol. You know, the ego strokes and things other people say. Opinions that are of high regard.
Yes.
Then I went to words being like certain words I kind of like the sound of them, you know, and really that's the symbol of the symbol, but I do have an attachment to certain words.
Yes.
And then the last thing, when you said item, it's really weird. I went to, my son went to Japan and he brought me back a little Buddha. Mm-hmm. Just a little carved Buddha.
Uh-huh.
And I've just cherished that for a long time. And mm-hmm. I'll touch it. And it's just a little thing. But it's a trinket. It's really...
Yeah.
But
it means something.
But I give it so much meaning because he carried it all the way from Japan.
From Japan, no less.
All the way to Santa Cruz, and he gave it to me. And, you know, it was...
it's kind of special.
It was really, special.
It is really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you use it.
I actually touch it.
It serves
and feel
you. And it's like a key or a trigger for your elevated state.
Yeah.
What can be bad about that? That's
rubbing
wonderful.
The Buddha's belly, because I've studied Buddhism. So
rubbing
all
your finger. Well, it's so small, it's only one finger, but that'll do.
It is a finger, but but it really is true. I do have an attachment to this little thing.
Okay, fine. What about the words now? I thought that was pretty interesting. You're a word artist.
Yeah, words are really powerful, and whether they're spoken or written, you know, if I feel something from a word, I get attached to it, and then it becomes relevant.
Uh-huh. Valuable.
And, it's interesting because I have a block that has words of what the characteristics of a teacher of miracles.
Yes.
And I'll throw the thing and get a word and carry that word with me.
Nice.
Even though
that's nice.
It doesn't need to happen. I mean, in the context of...
But it serves you.
Yeah.
They serve you. In other words, you're interested in an elevated experience, and you can use the words, you can, which are just symbols, so right. it's an idol, but it serves you.
Sometimes. Sometimes it does other things, too.
Oh, no! You mean like her food?
Yeah, like her food.
There have been times when food has not done you so good.
Yeah.
Or when you used food, maybe against somebody. Or when your words didn't work, they backfired.
When the words backfire, or when my perception of the word is attached to the past or the future. It's not a present thing.
Yes, yes, yes. So watch this one. Watch that, because that's really uniquely, that's yours. So it's an insight in a clever spell. The ego would pull you, and you could spend a whole lifetime pursuing that.
It's really hypnotizing. I didn't even
hypnotizing. Great
it.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, Julie. Is there an idol in your life?
Well, it's interesting because I just first went to like something you fixate on, which isn't necessarily always the meaning of the word, because a lot of times we elevate the thing we fixate upon, but that doesn't necessarily have to be true. So my work is probably my idol, but when I teased that out, because it's a fixation, right? It's not it's not necessarily that I'm elevating it per se, but because but anyway, when I teased that out, the root seemed to be my own sense of perfectionism or need to control. That's the true idol, like that is makes the work like this gripping thing.
Yes, yes, nice.
Has to get it just right.
Yes, and there will be a reward if you prayed properly to your idol with perfection. That's proper response to your work, to your idol. Eating healthy food is a proper prayer to your idol, and then everything goes right. And good sentence structure. Beautiful. Right? Save that. Write that down. Oh, yeah. Well, you pray properly. Yeah. And when you do good quality work, that was good work. You've prayed properly to your idol, and the idol has returned you with somebody saying, Julie, I don't know where that came from, but that was good job you did yesterday on that presentation. Wow. Oh.
But it costs
like in the picture.
So much. It costs so much. It costs so much.
Yep. And
because it's a distraction from truth.
Yep. And it was conditional. Something had to happen. That it's health food, but it's got to be within the expiration date, Bridget. You can't eat the spoiled stuff. I don't care how healthy it's supposed to be. Something has to be right about the idol and the way it's treated and the environment in which you use it for it to come off. Yeah, this is really true. Yeah. That handmade little wooden thing, better not say made in China. Plastic. I thought it was wood the whole time.
Oh my God.
No!
Now I'm going to go home and look at it.
Yeah. Kenny, is there an idol in your life?
I did notice that I'm just sort of good enough. Oh, I think you said something like that.
Yeah.
And I'd say moving around. Yeah, I always seem to be scratching or. You know, clicking my ear, or
yeah,
clicking, you know, yeah,
yes,
might be an idol.
You bet. Yeah. You bet. Chasing the satisfaction.
Yeah.
In the body, Course says that the body was made. Hey, Bert, to strive.
Strive.
Short sentence. But the body was made to strive. Mm. Which means seek and seek and seek. Scratch the itch. Move the body. Mm-hmm. Get things done. I mean, yeah. Kenny. Yeah. If not you, then who? Is going to do whatever it is you have to do. Who's going to scratch that itch? It's not fair to have Bridget scratch them all. Honey, can you climb the ladder with me? All right, I'll get this one. All right. You bet. Yeah. Good bust. Very personal. Very close to the best. Well, an idol in your life?
Idol is, I think an idol is something that provides security.
Provides which?
Security.
Security. Yes.
And
yes.
My living space is one of my idols.
Yes. Idols are protected.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do if I did not live that way.
So you will protect it. Because it serves you. Mm-hmm. And without it working, you would be harmed. This is an idol. Very good. So you must pray to your idol appropriately.
Well, I say thank you.
You say thank you. Mm-hmm. You probably keep it clean. You'll pay rent if that's appropriate.
Talk to it, yeah.
Or you'll pay the mortgage. Talk to it. Keep it from leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Lock its doors. Once a year, check the fire extinguisher.
You're supposed to do that.
That's a good idea. So, yeah. Yes. Yes, firmly held. The idol. Carol, is there an idol in your life?
I've been noticing a lot of people that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
From Greta, you know, the young woman from Sweden. The 16-year-old who's getting millions of people to act on the environment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I saw Jane Fonda on television yesterday going to jail, you know, for what she believes in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's something around that.
I'm a woman, hear me roar.
What's that?
I'm a woman, hear me roar.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's something about a striving or,
something that counts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Meaning.
Meaning.
To make a difference.
Something meaning, exactly.
To make a difference.
Yeah.
You believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
You honor that.
So, yeah. So little ways work, too. But I've been noticing a lot of big ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Better to struggle for the environment than to just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And not even recycle. In fact, did you do proper recycling last week? Oh, you seem pretty confident about that.
Well,
you're good? Well, good. All right. I always thought that'd be good for my epitaph.
You what?
My epitaph on my headstone.
Yeah.
He enjoyed recycling.
Oh.
What?
He did his part.
Luann, do you have an idol in your life?
I probably have many, because a lot of what people said is true for me. The one that stood out the most was Walt. My house has been my idol. It's my place of comfort, my place of safety, my place of being able to enjoy just being by myself, etc., etc., until recently. And recently I realized I didn't really do all that anymore.
Mm.
And it felt very like I was floating with no base.
Mm. Yeah.
And what happened was I have been reading the book and doing the lessons, and I realized that's really the only thing I can depend on anymore. Mm. So that became my base. So maybe I'm idolizing the Course in Miracles. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that your long-standing idol now is seen through, and that could be an encumbrance to your peace.
It seems what?
It could be a problem.
Could be.
It was such a, I mean, it's always been such a strong, reliable idol. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody who has to stop eating wheat because they find out they have irritable bowel syndrome. I think that's correct, right? And the doctor says, look, you keep doing that, it will keep doubling you over at least once a week. You've got to stop eating the wheat. Oh, okay, does that mean no bread? That means no bread, and it means nothing with flour that has wheat in it. And he gives you a list, and you're like, no! I love those Twinkies. What? No tortillas? I mean, how do you possibly without a tortilla?
I don't know. My granddaughter would ask that question.
So it was a little challenge to your peace.
It is, but it also felt like I was looking at truth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, seeing through it.
It felt like that. It felt like I've been depending on something that has never been really that dependable.
That's right. You're very good. And it's been lucky so far, but it's something, when you touch with Course in Miracles, you touch real peace from the inside, mm-hmm. you recognize how fragile peace is on the outside, mm-hmm. but now you don't demand so much from it. It's a really great awakening to shift from needing things outside to be so perfect when there's the perfect inside is the one you really want.
But that's the scary part, not losing my house,
yes,
and my idol. It's not knowing whether I have enough within me to be able to depend on.
You're very, very good. It's very honest, and that's very good. It's very good to recognize and ask that question. The only way, of course, you know, the only way you'll find out.
Just keep going, keep going, keep going.
How did Julie find out that she could be in the dark with the lights off? I mean, that is not fun. If you got a fear of the dark, and it's getting dark, it is not fun. I mean, you know, you just turn the lights on, you're okay. So why the hell would you ever face it? But there was a sense of freedom. I mean, you tell the story.
I know.
Can you remember? Yeah. Your transition?
Well, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us.
It had a couple of phases, but I'm going to cut to the chase, which was that, it was a 30-year fear of the dark, and for whatever reason, a few things the night before had made me realize that I had just decided I was afraid of the dark, and I never questioned it, so I was like, always just keep the light on, and because I'd already decided I was afraid, and then after this meeting one night, I thought, well, I'm going to challenge that. So I'd always been out at this one lookout on campus, and it's beautiful. I would go there after course every Thursday and meditate, and I'd always wanted to get out under the stars, but I wouldn't let myself out of the car because between mountain lions or scary people that could have been at the lookout, I just would never get out of the car. But I realized, like, I just sat with it. I sat in the car, and I was like, what would it be like to unlock the door? And then anxiety, and I just like sat there for a minute, and I like let it, I didn't try to suppress it, I just sat with it, like, okay, there's anxiety there. And then I was like, you know, it went away, and I said, okay, I'll like, oh, just like, what if I just put my hand on the lock? And, you know, it was like the same thing, and it was this half hour process of like just getting to the point where I opened the door and pushed it open, and then I sat with it open and not out the side of the car, but eventually I got out of the car, and I stood under those stars for 40 minutes by myself. And, then there's the little serendipitous things that happen. So my lesson that night was where there was darkness, I looked to the light, and that just so happened that that was the lesson I woke up to after challenging myself the night before. And so I, as I finally got out of the car, I was like scanning, are there mountain lions, are there people? And I wasn't at peace. And when I finally took a breath and was able to look up instead of worrying about my surroundings, like a shooting star just went straight across the sky as I was repeating that lesson title to myself. So it was meant to be. But I walk through my life now, like every once in a while there'll be this little twinge that still says it's there, but pretty much I walk through my life now without that fear, and I sleep in the dark, and I, you know, like whatever, you know, I always slept at dark in my own house, but like other places I didn't want to. But I've just gone free in one night. Because for 30 years I told myself I was afraid. So yes. I never actually questioned that.
You always get what you want. And you were praying. But you were afraid, actually. Mm-hmm. Who would want that? But it's exactly what you were doing. And you stopped that. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And as you were talking, the door opened and there was nobody there.
And her fear there was somebody left there. Once again. And not somebody left the room. He's like, I can't scare Julie anymore. And the ear talk ran out to scare somebody else in Santa Cruz. And so you would do the exact same thing.
What does that mean?
You would say in your meditation, she didn't jump out in the dark and say, just darkness, get me or leave me, let's find out now. She didn't jump on the hood. No, she stayed right where she was safe and comfortable. There's no need to go face fear physically. You don't have to go live homeless and see if you can still be happy. No! In your home. In your security, in your happiness. You can sit with the Holy Spirit. And you can say exactly as Julie said, she gave you the words, what would it be like to be secure enough in me, with me, and nothing else?
It's funny though, because I always thought that was true for myself until I realized my house wasn't my safe place.
Yeah. You know, another analogy we've used here before that I like is when you're going, you're on a hike and you've come up to a stream, a small river, a stream, and there are rocks in it and the water's flowing, and you're going to step on the top of the rocks to get across the stream. You've all been there. You've all done this?
Yeah.
You approach it and you stay safe on one bank where, you know, both feet solid in sand. Okay, you plot out which leg, which, do I start left? No, start with your right leg and then the left. Right? And maybe the one in the middle is big enough you can put both feet and rest. But you kind of plan it out.
Yeah, that's true.
And so this is what exact same approach you would take. You don't know exactly which step to take, but you know you want to cross, and you do. You've told us. And you have the ability to let go of the house, even metaphorically, to go to a better strength, to go to your spiritual strength, something you can't see. Because the house, anything you can see, can be destroyed, and is often.
It kind of goes along with an epiphany I had a week or two ago, and it was, I don't know if you remember, but when I first got here, one of the questions you had during meditation was, what is something you really want? Mm-hmm. And I said, I really want to only love. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. Well, my epiphany was, that's not what I want anymore. Mm-hmm. What I want to know is to know that I am love. Mm-hmm. And that just made such a huge difference. That's now what I'm searching for, nice. Is to know I am love.
Nice. Good. There's a beautiful circle there. But if there's any doubt, if there's any discomfort, if there's any hesitation, it's like being standing on the shore looking at those stones.
Well, the stones for me are continuing with the book.
Yes. And how do you do that? You lean forward, put your foot out, and trust the first stone.
I kind of have to.
And with the momentum that you've used to get on the first stone, You trust as you move forward and you swing your leg for the second stone, and by then you've left the shore behind. That safe sand there is, you're on your way.
You have to go.
Just as Julie did mm-hmm. when she said, I'm doing this. I'm going to cross this stream tonight. And she timid, sat in the car, kept a few little lights on here and there, and she thought about the first move would have to be unlocking the door. She didn't unlock the door. She said, what would it be like to have the door unlocked? One stone. A quick little step. You could always step back. Boom, lock that up. That's not a good idea. That was always, you could do that.
Probably did.
I probably did. Yep. But at some point when you start feeling the momentum of crossing the stream and stepping on the stones, you change modes. You're now a stream crosser.
The closer to the other side than you are to where you were.
Then that happens.
And then you don't go back.
And then you don't go back. It's actually shorter to keep going forward with all the rewards and two.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do. Yes, that's what you are doing. Nice. Miley, is there an idol in your life?
Yeah. What came up for me is me. Because I've been in this really battle involving my daughter and her sanity and an insane situation and my grandchildren, and I have to keep giving it to God, mm-hmm. and yet I keep finding myself thinking I have to rescue the situation. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
And that's what I've been working in that level of intensity in the coursework. I've been working with grievance. Mm-hmm. Because I have to look at where I'm having grievance of the guy or partner. Mm-hmm. Every time, you know, and what's been coming is I've been noticing that when I, you know, I'll take myself sometimes and sit outside and I'll go, oh, look it. I'm doing grievance. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. that I. Uh-huh. I'm doing grievance. Mm-hmm. And somehow the work has gotten to where I can catch it now and go, okay, I'm doing grievance. And I can put it, and I see it's a mind thing. Mm-hmm. I can mm-hmm. put it down. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a little bit of a leaning back. Mm-hmm. And it's allowing divine presence
yes.
to come in.
Yes.
And, I mean, I've cultivated presencing for a long time, mm-hmm. but when everything's comfortable and nice, it's really easy to sit and be present. When things are life-threatening, it's a whole nother ballgame.
Yep.
And so I was sitting here with your prompting and questions about what's the idol, and I came up with it's with the I am, mm-hmm. and that's an interesting term for me, because you know it's not something I particularly think about, but mm-hmm. the I am, this small I that wants to race in mm-hmm. to rescue, mm-hmm. is very different than the I am of whatever the I am tradition is, which is speaking of where our large self mm-hmm. bonds with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. where we are one mm-hmm. and we are in oneness.
Yes.
But I think my idol is this little I am of ego identification that's my entire life, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's formed this Miley, mm-hmm. and I have to say the idol is this little Miley who thinks she can charge in and rescue, who builds up into terror, mm-hmm. who access, you know, I've been accessing old fears and trauma. Mm-hmm. I mean, I access this image to match my daughter's terror. Mm-hmm. When I was going through abuse healing, there was this image of me completely wrapped like a mummy, tape across my mouth, mm-hmm. eyes this big in terror, mm-hmm. blacked around.
That's it.
You know, and yeah. so I could match her terror. And yes. then I went, oh, great. You know, yeah. so I go, okay, didn't I process this like yeah. 30 years ago? Yeah. But then I realized, because as I really went into it, it allowed me to match fear, to empathically match fear. Mm-hmm. But it didn't have the grip on me. But it was part of my building of my identity.
Yes. So the idol that you had, you, has been carried along, and the fearful you was prayed to. Yeah. Out of a natural sense of fear, seeing what your daughter's going through. You turned around and you prayed to the idol in you that can feel fear. The mummy was prayed to. Served. Likewise. And so this idol was carefully brought along, even though you thought you no longer respected it. Like the house. The house will capture your attention. And the words be another beautiful sentence. And the food and those pictures that look so good will continue to represent that perfection. And it's the exact opposite of allowing yourself to be the channel that you know you are there to be. You can't actually rescue your daughter from her own thoughts and her own choices and her own investments. You can't actually rescue her. And you know that. However, you can show up as mom and friend and source of strength and compassion and everything else that's your nature. But the ego would have you bring your idol with you and have you bring the fear along too.
Oh, and make the whole situation catastrophic.
Yeah, that's right, because that's what you're bringing into the room, which is not what you set out to do. But with the idol being prayed to, that's what you get.
And when I walk into the room,
mm-hmm.
and it's no mistake that
yes.
when I came down for the first pregnancy, I found you, and I found the group, and
mm-hmm.
I found the cord.
Yeah.
So I have that strength, you know, mm-hmm. and so you're exactly right. So what can I do? I can come in and be mom and be grandma.
Yes.
And love them.
Yes.
And it's forcing me
yes.
to see when I'm in this false identification.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
With a smaller self, with mm-hmm. this ego. Mm-hmm. It's forcing me to do the work. It's like, it's a gift.
Yes.
Because it's for, and I just go, what else can I do? Adore my little grandson.
Adore.
I just love him.
Be a sense of calm.
Exactly.
Be a source of...
For me to come in and
be a source of...
Or judging.
Right.
The grievances.
Grievances brings it down. Judgment brings it down.
Yeah.
Panicking brings it down.
Yeah.
God,
it's so
biting
nice
your
to
lip
talk about this. Thank you.
In your stressful moment, biting your lip and holding
this.
It all in. Everybody can feel that in the whole room.
Yes.
When you do that. Mm-hmm. It's you're advertising it, and it brings it down.
Yeah.
All because of this idol Miley is being prayed to.
Right, who thinks she can fix it. Or she has yeah. to fix it.
Was it last week or a couple weeks ago?
Sorry.
No problem. Miley is made up. That's an invention. Miley. Turns out that your mom and your dad, they pick that name. They picked the name Miley, or you did.
Yeah, it was my grandmother.
So now that was assigned to what we call you. But that was made up. And it's been held onto ever since. In an attempt in this world to make
an identity
that could strive
to fix everything.
When it itches, you know which one to itch. And has served you as an ego. as a separate person. But if you want to be free, if you want to be a loving mother, and you want to be helpful, and you want to show up in the most loving way possible, it wouldn't be turning toward the mummy.
It wouldn't be turning...
Turning toward the mummy.
No, the mummy came up.
Yeah.
The trigger.
Yeah, they're still there. The triggers are there. But you actually see through it now. Like, you don't have to eat the high sugar foods once you realize there are other things to eat and you're okay. You can actually change those idols out, the ones that don't serve you so well. And as you work your way to a spiritual awareness, you have to put down the things that are outside of you, including the pictures in your head that you know are fantasies, whether they be of love or fear. Come into the present moment, be the most loving, lightful person in that moment with those people, with what's going on at that time. But to do that, you might have to go to page 28 before you go in the room. So let's go there now together.
Oh, wait, Bert, did you want to go down?
Bert?
Oh,
okay. We meditated on idols, and is there an idol in your life, something that represents something to you?
I think idols, my understanding of the Course in Miracles, are the things that distract you and make you feel like this world is real.
Yes.
And so I have a lot of them. I think especially they're the things that I enjoy about being in this world. So skiing has been a big idol for me, and I just learned this recently in one of the lessons I did, that it's easy to give up the painful parts of this dream life, and that, but it's the things that you really love and enjoy that kind of help keep you stuck here.
Yes.
So
that's the frosting on a cake that may taste like cardboard. Could end up eating the whole thing.
I just used that analogy about a week ago.
Did you really?
About a cardboard cake.
Did you really?
I can't believe
it. Maybe
you
that's
just said
where
that.
It came from. But then we have to bust the ego all the way around. And to get underneath, to get behind what feels so, you get so much permission to love the sunsets. And to love the pretty parts of the world, the chocolate and the beautiful songs.
Yeah.
Have to see it's okay, there's no sin staying in the world and recreating it. But we have to catch how the ego works to feed us the frosting on the cardboard cake. Mm. You just have to see it. You don't have to not enjoy the things of this world, but you do have to see through them at least once. And that's how you discover true love. The capital letters come in. You discover you. The peace that's in you. Rather than the peace that happiness that comes from skiing or from art or beautiful words. All those things turn out, or the pictures, all those things turn out to be outside of you. And it's world building. You can come into that room full of light and shine it. The light, only thing you would want to bring into a tough situation over which you actually can't control. But you can bring light. So let's look at page 28 and see how.
And can I add one piece?
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm seeing that idol, it's not just me.
Yep.
It's seeing her in this traumatized place.
Yes.
So it's like, kind of like the mirror on the wall.
It's very important. Yeah. It's very important. Seeing her.
But instead, seeing her as a divine being who's so much vaster. Seeing that aspect of her rather than this little persona.
Right.
That's become who she thinks she is.
Yes.
Seeing through the eyes of Christ. Looking at her through the eyes of Christ.
Yes. And you can look at her struggles as her losing, or you can look at her struggles as her waking up.
That's what I am.
You choose. Yeah. Yeah. And what you choose, you will get. Good.
Well articulated.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now.
28.
Page 28.
In the text.
In the text. You might want to have a copy of this when you go into a tough situation anywhere in your life. And it's you who are going in and you're not exactly sure how to deal with this. Well, here's how you deal with it. This was given, this was channeled Bill Petford, who was ostensibly, the course was written actually to Bill. Helen wrote it down, but Bill was the first receiver. And in our text, it uses Bill's name a lot. It says, tell Bill, and then this came out. You know, because Bill had a big speech to give, and it was a little ahead of his pay grade, and he wasn't quite sure he had to offer what they needed, but they said, Bill, we need you to speak to this big crowd of people. So this came from Jesus through Helen to Bill. Page 28, and you can see it in the italics on that page. He said, say this before you go into the difficult situation with your daughter. In the car, wherever you can be, where it's private, you can say this to yourself. You can even say it, I, Miley. I, Mom. I am here with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
On Friday in Santa Cruz. What's here? Here means I am at the hospital, or I have come to my friend's house who has called me in a time of need. I am here. Locate yourself. Get practical. I am here with my wife in the kitchen, about ready to deal with this issue. I'm here only to be truly helpful. This is a prayer, this is an acknowledgement, and it's a commitment. And it's a surrender. You see, because your ego says, I'm going to rescue, save, change, fix, block, deny. But when you're here to be truly helpful, not just helpful, truly helpful, that's above your pay grade.
That's what?
Above your pay grade. To be truly helpful. You can be helpful. Take out your wallet and pay for something that's helpful.
I wanted to have a house, enough money to take her away.
Some more money to take away. Yeah, that seems like that would be, and it might be helpful, but would it be truly helpful?
Yeah.
That would take the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit has the ability to see the whole picture. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit. Little pun, but it means that's what I mean. It has you appeal to a larger perspective with the Holy Spirit. You're appealing to the larger mind. So when you see, Kenny scratched the itch with a nice sneeze. Good sense. I'm here to be wholly, truly helpful. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit. But that's what the next line says. It says, I am here, say it again, in this situation. Say your name. Say the name of the person. Say the address. Describe the building. Whatever. You be very, very practical. This is not maybe wishy. This is here now. You can call it your awareness of the present moment. Very helpful. I am here, again, in this spot, to represent him who sent me. Again, represent means it's not you. It's above your pay grade. You're the sad sack that was worried there was a problem. You're the one who thought she needed to be rescued now, from this. I'm here to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent, actually, him who sent me. To him is the Christ mind. To him is the right mind. To him is your Holy Spirit. The one who knows. Right-mindedness. I do not have to worry. I do have to worry about what to say or what to do once I go in. Because he who sent me, which I'm here to represent anyway, will direct me. Can you say surrender? Can you willfully surrender to love? To the Holy Spirit's larger perspective? You would have to back away in order for the Holy Spirit to be present. Because you're worried.
Oh, my mantra's been lesson 70-something where it's show me where to go, show me what to do,
yes.
Tell me what to say and to whom.
Good.
I mean, at least every 10 minutes.
Yes.
Talk about doing the practice.
Yes.
No alarm clock.
It's just fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Excellent. Yeah. Good, good. Yes. That was 71. I am content, I, Michaeline, am content, you know, to be wherever he wishes. This is this or another place. But since I'm here to represent him who sent me and I'm here to be truly helpful, I will be truly helpful wherever I'm sent. Don't put any limits on it. Because I know he'll go with me. Big one at the end. Now already you should be coming to easier breathing. You got your ego to take the back seat or even take a walk. I'll come get my ego in the parking lot after I'm done dealing with this situation. After I've actually listened to her. Honestly listened. We'll go back and pick up the ego when it's over. Because I'm here to represent him who sent me. Right-mindedness. The Christ in you. The part of your mind is actually loving and only listens to the Holy Spirit. That's who sent you in this difficult situation. If you want to truly love, and if you want to be lovable, you would not be judging and fixing and changing people's minds.
Isn't it amazing, after what we said this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
that we're doing this tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's all the same material. I will be healed. This is the reward. If you weren't motivated enough just to step aside and put your stinking thinking down, if that wasn't a good enough reason to do this, well then here's the payoff additionally. You will be healed as you let him who you came to represent teach you to heal. As you let him see through your eyes, speak through your voice, you will be prompted what to say or not to say, what to do or not to do, if you will step back. The you who was worried and the you who just wants to carry light and be used for miracles, step right through that door. Undefended, not worried, and fully empowered by Spirit. It would take a miracle, which we're calling for. And a miracle is, first of all, an undoing. And then you can flip to, is it 71 or 77?
71. Only God's plan.
The workbook.
In the workbook?
In the workbook.
Only God's plan for salvation will work. That's 71.
Yes, that would be the right one.
Mm-hmm.
121.
In the workbook.
121?
122. Well, yes, 121 is where it starts. But 122 has the italics we're looking for.
Yeah.
And this is just a practical lesson. Another repeat of the surrender. And the trust. The trust you have to go into. And believe me.
And the letting go of grievances.
Letting go of grievances.
And judgment.
Judgments.
And the defenses. And
letting go of protection of her. You don't
know. I mean,
know.
Who am I to try and do that, right? I felt like I couldn't go to Maui because I was so panicked about her. Because those are my other grandkids and kids.
Yeah.
So it was possible.
You don't know how to protect her, but one is with you who does.
Yeah.
And that's you have to let shine through.
Right. And I don't physically have to be there.
That's true. See those italics, what would you have me do? What would you, where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? That pretty much covers everything. You're going to step back and let him lead the way. But then the reward is huge. You get to experience love. This love you were looking for. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
That's why I'm here tonight.
Good. That's why, we needed you tonight.
That's why I'm here tonight to hear this.
Okay, turn to text page 618. Let's see how much of this we can get in.
618 is the text?
Yeah, 618 in the text. There's Jesus is waiting for us to let him weigh in. To let him talk about this metaphysical topic in A Course in Miracles. And let's start with paragraph 5 on 618. David, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Idols must fall because they have no life. And what is lifeless is a sign of death. You come to die, and what would you expect but to perceive the signs of death you seek?
Isn't that interesting? He's sort of, putting his glasses down and saying, you came here to die into this world, watching the sufferers and the struggle, and you among them. From his perspective, he who has transcended the world says, I've been in your shoes, and the only place that this... The only thing that this is good for, this place, is to prove death is real. So you actually came to die. Now, there is no such thing as death, it turns out. He who has transcended death wrote this for you. So, please continue.
No sadness and no suffering proclaim a message other than an idol found that represents a parody of life, which in its lifelessness is really death, conceived as real and given living form.
What he's talking about is that you came here, you as a free creator son, an extension of God, came up with this idea of loss. It said, ooh, what an interesting frame on life would be death. It would just make it pop, you know what I mean? It would really stand out if you could kill it. I'm going to try it. And so you made a whole world and dreams in which you could. And the death thing has turned out to be this fascination. What sentence is any good without a punctuation at the end? And this sentence ends with death.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way it was made. It's not a sin. It's just the way it was made, and we're here to bust it so that you can be free again. Because you've taken your dream a little too seriously. And so it shows up serious because you have. Okay, now, please continue. There's more.
Yeah. Yet each must fail and crumble and decay, because a form of death cannot be life. And what is sacrifice cannot be whole.
In other words, as you make loss with the creative mind, you will experience loss from having created it in your mind. Do you see the circle? You are a creator and you're living with your thoughts. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. You think it, then you happen. Then you see it. You give it meaning, then it has meaning. You worry about it, and then you get afraid of it. You think it has power, and then you struggle from the power you think it has. But if you're willing to step back in any difficult situation in your life and say, you know what, I'm going to put down the darkness, and I'm not going to worry, I'm going to trust. Let me be the way light is brought into a dark situation. Let me be the first one to go to peace in a difficult situation. This would be you using your creative mind to choose differently. And only by your choice, not by your actions, okay? The actions won't be of you. Remember, I'm here to be truly helpful, here to represent him who sent me. Well, that means you're surrendering and you're letting your right mind take over and say or not say or do or not do as love would in that moment, as right-mindedness would in that moment. You're not in that moment yet. Don't try to plan it. Just plan to be truly helpful, whatever that means and wherever that takes you. This paragraph, and we've jumped in the text, to page
618. No, 618. Oh, it's 18 now, yeah.
We'll eventually get to 619 if we're lucky. But it's not looking good at the moment. Because there's so much on this page. Can you believe this paragraph? But Jesus is here saying, you do have a power to make an avail that you'll think is impenetrable because you made it. I'm here to tell you some good news. Please continue. Oh, wait. Next. Oh, do you finish?
I'm finished, yeah.
Bert, you ready? We're on paragraph 6 now.
All idols of this world were made to...
Wait. I'm sorry. There's a little more we got to pull out of 5 before we go on. And that is... At the end of the day, this whole idea of loss is critical to the world you made. And death is the word that we put on the ultimate loss that cannot be regained. Protect ourselves from death at all prices. And then when it happens, you've got to deal with it. And it seems like you've lost something of value. We have to transcend this limited thought along with all other limited thoughts. But I'll tell you, you do this one, and all the other lesser seeming losses are seen right through. Or you can see through the little ones, and then the big ones are seen right through. It's only the idea of loss we're talking about. And this we're talking about here. He says, as you thinketh, so it is. And he says, by the way, he says, I got to keep this book short, so I'm not going to give this its full due. Roughly. But he says, death does not come from life. Don't you get it? Life is the opposite of death, see? That's what life is. You put a frame on it in a manifestation and called it death and say that's the end of life. But that just means you closed your eyes on life. It doesn't mean that death is real. And doesn't life still exist in your mind as you remember the life? Doesn't your heart still beat with the memory of the life? And didn't your heart beat with the life when it was alive just the same? Death is a dream of the ego. You must also transcend that. Jesus did. He says, man, have I got news for you guys.
Well, this whole process is the death of the ego.
Yes, it is. There's more. Bert, you ready for us?
All idols of this world were made to keep the truth hidden.
Oops.
To keep the truth within from being known to you.
Mm-hmm.
And to maintain allegiance to the dream that you must find what is outside yourself to be complete and happy.
Isn't that Course in Miracles summation in that sentence?
Yeah.
Bert, would you read that sentence again?
All idols of this world were made to keep the truth within from being known to you and to maintain allegiance to the dream that you must find what is outside yourself to be complete and happy.
That's what we say every single meeting here. Yeah. Ha! Okay. Please continue.
It is vain to worship idols in the hope of peace. God dwells within, and your completion lies in Him. No idol takes His place. Look not to idols. Do not seek outside yourself.
Bridget, keep it rolling.
Let us forget the purpose of the world the past has given it. For otherwise, the future will be like the past and but a series of depressing dreams in which all idols fail you one by one and you see death and disappointment everywhere.
Naturally, if you are preoccupied with past thoughts, they're going to continue to show up like the past did and color everything you do. So you're not representing Him who sent you. You're representing Him who's pushing you through the door. The ego. With your past thoughts. Yeah, you have to let the old ways go after the miracle shows up, and you're here for the miracle. That's why you have a book called Course in Miracles. You are here to shift your mind back to freedom. Perfect freedom. Happiness. Light. The only way you wish to be is carrying light. And carrying love. The only way you wish to be. But you would have to put down the attack, the guilt, the shame, the fear, the smallness. You'd have to stop practicing those things to be truly helpful in any situation. Those have been idols that no longer serve you. In fact, they're blocking now your ability to move on to the real thing, which is within, thank you, previous paragraph, and not without, where the whole world is found. Oh, you got the right book if this makes any sense to you. Okay, let's continue.
To change all this and open up a road of hope and of release in what appeared to be an endless circle of despair, you need but to decide you do not know the purpose of the world. You give it goals it does not have. And thus do you decide what it is for. You try to see in it a place of idols found outside yourself, with power to make complete what is within by splitting what you are between the two. You choose your dreams, for they are what you wish, perceived as if it had been given you. Your idols do what you would have them do, and have the power you ascribe to them. and you pursue them vainly in the dream because you want their power as your own.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes. Elsewhere in the Course it says you love what you made. Naturally. But what you made does not love you. Can't. The world of guilt, shame, fear. Fear's not very loving. It seems like it's loving because it would take care of you. You should be afraid of things that can hurt. But wait, if things can hurt, you're sucked right down the rabbit hole. And you've gone back out for protection. With the house, with the body, with the pictures, with the food, with the images. The Course says, you want to find God? It's an inside job. It says the previous paragraph. Oh, there's more. Let's continue.
Yet where are dreams but in a mind asleep? And can a dream succeed in making real the picture it projects outside itself? Save time, my brother. Learn what time is for. And speed the end of idols in a world made sad and sick by seeing idols there.
Do you see the circle? That circle is right. Say it again, Julie. Speed the end. Watch this circle that he's catching. He says to stop this chasing your tail. You got to stop. Well, chasing your tail. Go ahead.
And speed the end of idols in a world made sad and sick by seeing idols there.
By seeing the value of sadness and the truth of sickness in the world. By seeing loss of life in something that dies. Did you catch yourself yet? See, you still think that if it dies, it's lost. This is a lie that the world would have you believe. It's a cycle of thought that's so imbued in the world. It's the laws are made up of the world around this idea. All you're doing is closing your eyes on life. You're actually telling yourself it's a dream. It's a dream of loss. Now you got what you looked for, didn't you? And the world is made this way.
I got what I want, so let's go on for something else.
Let's continue.
Your holy mind is an altar unto God, and where He is, no idols can abide. The fear of God is but the fear of loss of idols.
Oh man, you got to read that sentence again slowly.
Yeah. The fear of God is but the fear of loss of idols.
Now, wait a minute, before we go on, because she's going to read some key words here that'll make more. Fear of God is but the fear of loss of idols.
Well, can I weigh in on that? Because it's one of my favorite quotes, that the end of suffering cannot be lost. But
yes,
that's a play on words. So what we're talking about is this idea that if we had to give up this world we know, it's a sacrifice. And it's actually not, because what is this world we know but suffering and death and, you know, while we all live our little personal private hell, right?
And great tasting frosting over cake that could kill you.
There you go.
Or cake that's filled with cardboard.
Cardboard!
But this takes it a step further, right? That fear of losing our ego self is actually the fear of God.
Yes.
Because we, I don't know actually, I'm just trying to draw a line.
Yeah.
We we separated from God.
Yes.
And we can't understand. Well, I guess we think that we'll be punished.
Well, we're trusting the idols.
Yeah.
We're treasuring the idols.
We're treasuring the
cherishing
idols.
Cherishing them.
And
the
where
is but the fear of
where your
treasure
is, so there will your heart be.
Well, and if we
created
if
it.
We surrender created. To the divine,
yes,
then we're gone.
Mm-hmm. And so are our kids. Oh no!
No, but I mean, it's like
annihilation.
Annihilation.
It's annihilation.
This is worried.
Like because then we absorb into the oneness of everything.
And we get dropped into the ocean and lost among all the other drops of the ocean, and we're nowhere.
But we become happy learners.
But we actually do, it seems, maintain an I. There is an I am. There is an I awareness in the Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It seems. I don't know. But the
Christ
fear
conscious, Christ
of losing
consciousness goes to.
Huh?
The Christ consciousness will go to.
Right.
There's no difference between God and Christ
well,
consciousness.
Well, Andrew, you've done this about, and I forget the words you use, but individuality versus
Individuation.
Yeah. And I like, you've given a couple of things, like the fingers, but I actually like the symphony.
Oh, yeah.
Metaphor.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've addressed this very thing.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. Because it's an existential, when you're on any honest spiritual path, you have to recognize oneness means that, you know, you might get lost and blotted back out into this big white ball of pleasure, and then there goes all the things you know and love, in fact, you. But which is just an ego fear. A separation is an addiction, and you don't want to put your drug down. But no, nothing of good or of value or that you would personally like could be taken from you, because you are the creator. The Course says you're a co-creator.
Right.
So another way to look at what actually is going on. We have a couple analogies to choose from now. We're getting pretty rich in this. But Julie's chosen the music one. So it's like this. In a beautiful melody song. Do 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 do. Oh my God, you get lost in it, right? The melody has a presence in you, but the melody is made up of individual notes. A note by itself, do. It's okay. Do. It's all right. It's kind of complete in itself. But it has no power alone. But it's not ever meant to be alone. In fact, its whole purpose in life is do 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 do. And together it makes the beauty and the love that stays forever in its expression as beauty and truth and goodness and love. The note, were it to be missing, would break the melody. I can't even do the melody without it. It would be really weird. Skipped, broken, you know, somebody's playing your favorite song and they mishit the key on the piano. Oh, that's broken. That's obviously not beautiful. It's a mistake. You count. You, not as a separate you, but as an individuated note, which is no mistake, or an extension of God that makes the whole music possible. Every single individual note, and you are one of those notes, make up the symphony of God's very happiness. Your desire to be at peace is the desire to hit that note, hear it, and feel it. This is why the Course says God is lonely without you. It's this way of saying how odd it is to not play the note called Miley in supreme happiness and full confidence and carrying the light into any would-be dark situation, because the dark is made up. The light is real. For Luann to say, I'm going to show up the most loving possible person I can be right now. I'll represent him who sent me instead of my ego who would push me.
That's That's the explanation for, which I didn't get before. The line, you are necessary to God's plan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You are. Yes. Thank you, Julie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like that. No mistake. You're so busy looking at yourself as an individual note, you can't see the bigger picture of where you belong and your purpose. And the Course says purpose is freedom.
So easy to forget.
Yes. You'll be lost without your purpose. And so, in fact, you are lost without your purpose. And you, in your body and time and space, have been busy trying to just look at one individual separate note. But when you've done that, and you've done it, here you are. When you've done it, you've lost the Chorus. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's lost. You will regain, like this forgotten song you know and love so well, as you're, and you have many times in this life, when you've chosen to surrender to the present moment honestly and just trust in Him who sent you, you found this innocence and simplicity that filled your heart for no apparent reason. You were just okay. In fact, more than okay. In fact, you were available. You were really available. Yes, that's what it's like to come into what we call the holy instant. That's without idols, see? Because you've turned inward. That's where you find God. You know, next week we're going to pick back up in this section. But before we do, let's go read tonight's paragraph. Incredible section. We'll be back. But for now, because we only have a few minutes left, look at page 436, paragraph 3. Yeah, you know, we're going to just spend some time on idols, actually, now that we're on the roll, but we will come back next week to do that. Who's up to bat?
But idols do not share. Idols accept, but never make return. They can be loved, but cannot love. They do not understand what they are offered, and any relationship in which they enter has lost its meaning. The love of them has made love meaningless. They live in secrecy, hating the sunlight and happy in the body's darkness, where they can hide and keep their secrets hidden along with them. And they have no relationships, for no one else has welcomed them. They smile on no one, and those who smile on them, they do not see.
Oh. Oh. We're going to unpack that over the next couple of weeks. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. All right. Well, the good news or the bad news first?
Let's do the bad news first.
You will always be chasing idols.
Oh, thanks a lot.
You will always
be chasing idols.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I accepted that one.
It's the nature.
That's just
it's where you are.
Yeah.
You are a seeker. You're a seeker. The body was made to strive. And you got one. So you're going to strive. And that's your path. That's your path.
So you can kind of relax knowing that's your path, because there's no point in not relaxing.
The good news is...
I mean, if you're doing it forever, why not relax?
That's right. You know what? It's your into it. The good news is there is a part of your mind. There is one in you that you can rely on. This Holy Spirit is closer to you than your own heart. Closer to you than your own breath. This Holy Spirit is always with you and will guide you and use your idols for good. Whatever idol you choose, whatever fear you have, whatever trouble comes your way, whatever promise that you are pursuing of this perfect picture, from your Holy Spirit, the part of your mind that is still connected to the truth, the one that's peaceful, can weigh in on whatever it is you're thinking about. Like Julie did beautifully. She didn't know. She knew for 30 years that there was trouble in the dark. That's what she knew. So she had to choose faith. She picked up a belief somewhere along the way that maybe she didn't have, maybe she was making this up. To put the idol down, she called on a bigger view. I said, what would it be like if I took a step in the forward through my fear? And the steps she took, and she crossed the stream by leaning into the first rock and then the second rock and the third rock, and before she knew it, she knew she was going to be okay. In fact, she was free. There is one in you who will take you to your freedom with whatever stones you have to cross. And we're going to study that. But you start right now. Start by choosing peace and stop following fear, for crying out loud. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Good job, everybody.
Thank you all.
Good job, Jesus, huh? What a book.
Really?
What a book.
Wow.
Excellent.
Yes.
How are you other than maybe making too many
mistakes?
Okay.
Look at
you. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's different.